Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpocha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down between Jew and Gentile to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, oh, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. I am so excited because we are at the fullness of the Gentile age. That means, according to the words of Jesus, that the spiritual scales are coming off of the eyes of Jewish people. And I was instructed many years ago by God to find 10 people that are Jewish, that believe Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, and write a book. And their stories would be so fascinating that unsaved Jewish people would read their stories, but worked into the storyline is Scripture. Unsaved people won't read a book of Scripture, but they'll read a book that have fascinating stories. So I was obedient to the heavenly vision, and the book they thought for themselves came out. We have over 850,000 of these books in print, most in Russian, and being distributed systematically throughout the former Soviet Union. And one of my favorite testimonies in the book is Sharon Allen, because she had such a unique background. Sharon was very active in the Chabad house in Hasidic Judaism. Her daughter was enrolled in the Hebrew Academy. Her husband was not Jewish. He was planning on converting to Judaism. And just before he was ready to convert, there was one requirement he could not say yes to. He had to renounce Jesus as the Messiah. And Sharon was shocked because he loved Judaism so much, she just didn't even know he still believed in Jesus. He never went to the church or anything. And so she decides, this is Meshuggah. This is crazy. I'm going to read through the Bible and prove to my husband that Yeshua is not the Messiah. Sharon, what happened?
Well, what I did is I started doing my research into the Hebrew Bible, and then I went to the Jewish bookstores, and I kept getting more and more books on Jewish history, Jewish traditions, and of course, I read the Talmud, the Midrash, I read the Shulchan Aruch, all of the ancient Jewish writings, because when I read the Hebrew Bible, many of the scriptures in there resembled what people were saying about Jesus. And I knew that everything that God wanted us to know about his Jewish Messiah would be in the Hebrew Bible, so that we Jews would be able to recognize him when he would come. And so when I finished reading the Hebrew Bible, so many things in there sounded like what Gentiles were saying about their Jesus.
You know, the one thing that really stuck with me so strongly was when you were wrestling with this, when you had no one to help you but God himself in his holy scriptures, you came across a very interesting character in Scripture called the Angel of the Lord, and then you were shocked that he was actually worshipped. You're not supposed to worship an angel. What effect did this have on you?
Well, in Hebrew, we say he's the Malach Hashem. Malach is Aramaic for messenger. And so in the English Bible, it says angel of the Lord. But in the Hebrew, it actually means the messenger of the Tetragrammaton, the holiest name for God. And every time he appeared to the patriarchs, to the people in the Bible, they would see him, they would fear for their lives, they would fall on the ground, and they would say that they would die because they've seen God face to face. And instead of this Malach Hashem, this messenger of God that carries the holiest name of God within his name, instead of him saying, oh no, I'm just a mere angel, I'm just a mere created being, an angel, don't fear for your life, you're not going to die, he never corrected them, but he said to them, peace, shalom. He comforted them, and then he gave them the information that he wanted them to convey to others. In other words, it is astounding that an angel wouldn't have corrected them and said, no, I'm just an angel. But no, he allowed them to believe that they were seeing God face to face. The only way he corrected them was to say, you're not going to die, and I give you peace. I give you God's shalom. And this happened so many times throughout the Hebrew scriptures. And for example, in the book of Judges, he comes before Manoah, and Manoah is so astounded by what he is seeing that he wants to offer sacrifice. And of course, an angel would never have been able to accept the sacrifice. But this Malach Hashem, this very, very unique messenger of God, accepts the sacrifice and actually goes into the flames. And as this Malach Hashem is lifted up to the heavens, Manoah uses the term Peli. This is Peli, which means wonderful, but actually it's a Hebrew word that can only be attributed to God. And so we see that in the Hebrew scriptures, there is someone who appears in the shape of a man who actually is not just representing God, but seems to be God and to accept sacrifice and everything that goes along with being the Holy One, God. And this I found astounding. And so actually, later on, when I actually read the New Testament, finally I read the New Testament after I became a believer, because I became a believer just by reading the Hebrew scriptures and all of the ancient Jewish documents, because even ancient Jewish documents talk about the two pictures of the Messiah that's in the Hebrew Bible.
But Sharon, Judaism was so, and even today is, so important to you. The rabbis as a class say that Jesus isn't the Messiah. You're convinced that Jesus is the Messiah. Didn't you figure that maybe you missed something and he really wasn't?
Yes, you know, it was through my research, over and over and over again, pouring over all of the ancient documents. I kept going back to the Jewish bookstores. I even bought anti-missionary books with names such as You Take Jesus, I'll Take God, and another book called I Was a Jewish Cult Buster. All of these books, and then, of course, Gerald Siegel's book called The Jewish Response to the Christian Missionary. And what I kept seeing over and over and over again is that the modern-day approach to the Messiah has changed, completely changed, to what the ancient Jewish writings told about who the Messiah would be, how he would come, where he would be born, what he would accomplish, how he would die. It's all there, not just in Hebrew scriptures, but in ancient Jewish documents where the rabbis spoke of how the Messiah would be and what he would accomplish. There's a wonderful book by Raphael Patai called The Messiah Texts, which speaks about these ancient documents and how the ancient rabbis recognized that there were two pictures of the Messiah in the Hebrew Bible. They even had names for them, Mashiach ben Yosef, Messiah son of Joseph, who would come as the suffering servant, and Mashiach ben David, Messiah son of David, who would come as the conquering hero king. And so time and time again, as I researched...
But isn't it fascinating that before the Messiah came, they had this revelation knowledge that the Messiah would suffer on behalf of the sins of the Jewish people, and the Messiah would be king and rule over Israel, and there'd be peace on earth. So the only way they could figure it out before the Messiah came was two Messiahs. But what about one Messiah, two appearances?
Well, it's kind of interesting because they saw a picture emerging even when they studied the Hebrew language within the Hebrew. Hebrew is, the language is made up of root letters. And when you go and you analyze the root letters, it speaks mountains of what the Hebrew writers were trying to convey. You know that every Hebrew name has a message within every name. Every Jewish child is born is given a Hebrew name, not just an English name, but a Hebrew name. And within that name, it says, it speaks of the nature and the character of what that name means. And I found in Genesis chapter 5, there's a genealogy. And I thought, well, you know, I'm wondering if this is something that is unique to only the Bible. And it is. There's a list of names. We know there are Adam, Seth, Enosh, Canaan, the first 10 genealogies. And when we study that, a picture emerges.
So let me repeat what you just said. The first 10 names mentioned in the Bible, starting with Adam, going to Noah, each Hebrew name has an English meaning. And you looked up the English meaning, and it almost made a sentence. It made a sentence when you strung the meanings of each of the first 10 names found in Genesis chapter 5. What message did you get from just stringing the definitions of these names together to form a sentence?
Well, I broke down every single name, and I do need to say that I did use Hebrew lexicons, and I used Hebrew-English lexicon.
Well, we're running out of time. What was the sentence?
The sentence is, mankind turns their faces towards and are appointed mortal grievous sorrow to lament and to mourn. And then it goes on to say, God, who is praised, comes down to instruct and to consecrate. He is sent forth as a prophet priest to be smitten and scourged, to die, to give rest and security, and then to give a quiet attitude of peace. Shalom.
You know, when you meditate on this, you have got the best description of the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. We're going to make a chart available to you as a bonus with the book that has Sharon Allen's full story, along with 9 other people, including mine. It's called A Thought for Themselves. We're making it available for a donation of $15. Read it. It'll solidify your faith, and then give it to the Jewish person that God himself will have cross your path. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.